Canto 9, Chapter 7. The Descendants of King Mandata. Sri Shuka said, "The most prominent son of Mandata, named Ambarisha, was accepted by his grandfather Yuvanashva as his son, and he had a son called Yauvanashva, who in his turn had a son named Harita. These three descendants, Ambarisha, Yauvanashva, and Harita, became the most prominent members of the Mandata dynasty. Purukutsa, another son of Mandata, was taken to the lower regions by his wife Narmada upon the order of the king of the serpents, Vasuki. She had been given to him in marriage by her serpent brothers. He, empowered by Lord Vishnu, killed the Gandharvas there who deserved it to be punished because of their enmity. From the serpents he, therefore, received the benediction that they who remember this incident are protected against snakes. The son of Purukutsa, named Trasadasyu, was the father of Anaranya. His son carried the name Hariashva. From him there was Praruna, and Praruna's son was Tribandana. From Tribandana there was a son named Satyavrata, who, being cursed by his father for kidnapping a Brahmin daughter at her marriage, had acquired the status of an outcast, and this was called Trishanku. By the prowess of Kaushika, he went to heaven, still present in his body, where he, having fallen down because of the demigods, halfway during his fall, by the sage's supreme power, acquired a fixed position. In that position, he today still can be seen hanging down with his head from the sky. Trishanku's son was Harishchandra, because of whom there existed a great quarrel between Vishvamitra and Vasishtha, in which the two for many years were like two birds. He was very morose because he had no successor. On the advice of Narada, he took shelter of Varuna, whom he asked, 'O Lord, may there be a son for my loins?' 'O Maharaj,' then he said, 'and if there is a son, I will sacrifice him to you, if you want.' Varuna accepted that offer, and a son was born who was named Rohita. Varuna thus said to him, 'A son was born. Will you offer him as a sacrifice to me?' Harishchandra then replied, 'An animal is sacrificed when 10 days have passed since its birth. Then it is considered fit for being sacrificed.' 10 days later, he returned and said, 'Be now of sacrifice then.' Harishchandra said, 'When the teeth of an animal have appeared, it will be fit for being sacrificed.' When the teeth had grown, Varuna said, 'Sacrifice now.' Whereupon Harishchandra replied, 'When he loses his milk teeth, then he will be fit.' 'The teeth of the animal have fallen out,' Varuna said. 'Be of sacrifice now.' The reply was, 'Only when the teeth of the sacrificial animal have grown back, it is pure.' After they had grown back, Varuna said, 'You offer now.' Harishchandra then said, 'When he can defend himself as a warrior with a shield, O king, then this sacrificial animal will be pure.' With his mind thus controlled by the affection for his son, he cheated the god with words about the time that it would take and made him wait. Rohita, aware of what his father intended to do, trying to save his life, took his bow and arrows and left for the forest. When he heard that his father, because of Varuna, was plagued with dropsy and had grown a large belly, Rohita wanted to return to the capital, but Indra denied him to go there. Indra ordered him to travel around the world to visit holy places and sites of pilgrimage. Thereafter, he lived in the forest for 1 year. Again and again, for a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth year, Indra appeared before him in the form of an old Brahmin and told him the same. the sixth year that Rohita wandered in the forest, he went to the capital where he bought Ajikarta's second son, Shunasheva, to serve as the animal of sacrifice. He offered him to his father while bringing his obeisances. After the worldly life of the man in the yajna was sacrificed to Varuna and the other demigods, Harishchandra was freed from the dropsy and became famous as one of the great persons of history. Vishwamitra was, during the sacrifice, offering the oblations the hota. The self-realized Jamadagni led the recitations of the Yajurveda mantras as the Advaryu. Vashishta was the leading Brahmin, the Brahma, and Ayasya recited the Samaveda hymns as the Udgata. Indra was very pleased and gave him a golden chariot. I will give an account of the glories of Shunasheva when I describe the sons of Vishwamitra. It pleased Vishwamitra very much to see truthfulness, solidity and forbearance in the ruler Harishchandra and his wife, and therefore he granted them the imperishable knowledge. The ruler managed to put an end to his ignorance through a specific process of meditation, in which he gave up his material ambition. He merged his mind with the earth with the water with the fire with the air, and the air with the sky. Next, he merged the sky with the cause of manifestation, and this false ego, this ahankara, he merged with the totality of matter. Finally, he merged that completeness of the Mahatattva with the spiritual knowledge in all its branches. Thus completely freed from being bound materially, he, through loving self-realization and liberating transcendental bliss, remained with the imperceptible and inconceivable one.